Our readings today, Exodus 18, verses 13 through 27. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear themselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times, the difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. The New Testament reading is Galatians 6, verse 2. "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ."
All about interconnectedness for me. It began when early in the week I read the lines of our church covenant that we would be focusing on today. They are, "We bind ourselves to the members of this church to live with them and watch over them with love, to bear with them their burdens." It began by thinking about the word bind. Now, that's not a word that we commonly use today. We think of it as a more old-fashioned word. And generally, our connotations about bind are not comfortable or positive. "Ooh, my pants are really binding me after all that turkey I just ate." Or, "Oh, I got myself in such a bind this week." But it's really a beautiful image. And when I began ruminating on the positive aspects of the word, I was immediately reminded of this lovely Celtic custom that Chris and Sharon O'Neill's son and daughter-in-law used at their wedding. As they were preparing to share their verbal vows, they held hands together, and I wrapped cords around them, showing visually that they were being bound together with these cords just as surely as they were with the spiritual verbal vows that they would be making to themselves. And think about those of you who have a weak wrist and you wear a binding to make it strong, to enable you to do the work that you need to do. My father-in-law uses a knee brace, and it not only gives his knee stability, but the psychological knowledge for him that his knee is not going to go one way and his thigh and calf the other is an extraordinary support to him. I see him walk differently with his brace on, and I know part of it is because he feels that, but I know also he's not as afraid. The binding of his knee brace strengthens him and encourages him as he goes about his day. Friends, we are blessed when we are bound together, bound to one another for support, for encouragement, for the surety that we don't need to rely solely upon our own strength. And so part of being church together is choosing to be bound to one another. Think about the geese who are bound together in flight. They are nearly immeasurably blessed because of their union and their connection. One of the pieces that I didn't mention about the geese is that when a geese is ill or sick, two geese always go down with that goose and stay with it until it can either fly again or dies. And that way, they all three fly back, or if it dies, the two fly back. They are never alone, even in their grief. They are bound together to support and uphold each other. And that union and connection enables them to fly further than you or I could ever even think about walking. But it's not just the binding together that blesses us. It's who we are bound to. Now, it's going to sound a little bit like I'm not listening to what I'm saying, because who we're bound to in church is a whole mess of people. Church is full of all kinds of folks, people we utterly adore, who we find this extraordinary simpatico with, and also others whom we don't adore and who we might not find simpatico with. But here's the very best blessing that happens because of this. At church, we learn how to love. Not the kind of sentimental, oh, puppies and kittens and wide-eyed babies love that just comes automatically and fills us with warmth. But the kind of love that makes us draw deep down inside of ourselves and come up with more patience, more forbearance, more staying power than we perhaps thought we were capable of. We haven't all chosen each other. Church is not a place where we make you go through this rigorous application process, and if there's something we don't like, we get to kick you out. No, church is a place where we say the doors are wide open, and everyone who's interested is welcome to come in, and we will figure out how to make community together. Church is a place where we don't choose each other, but it's a place where God chooses each of us. And in learning to love each other, especially the folks who might bug us a little bit, we learn more about how to be like God than nearly any other thing can teach us. We learn when we love and live with people for whom our appreciation doesn't come naturally, how it is to really and truly emulate God. During this week of focusing upon our interconnectedness, I listened to an amazing book that Betsy Burghardt had recommended to me a few years ago. It was an extraordinary book, one of the best that I've ever encountered, and next Lent we will do a reading group on it, and I hope that you'll all attend. I don't know why it took me so long to open it up, but it just felt like this was the time, and I didn't realize how much it would mesh with what we were looking at. It is about a priest who works with gangs in Los Angeles. Talk about learning how to love the folks that our appreciation for doesn't come naturally. At Homeboy Bakery and Homeboy Silk Screening and in the graffiti elimination teams, these young men work together with people who have been their sworn enemies. They make bread alongside men who likely have killed their friends and even their family members. And yet, armed with only the gospel of Jesus Christ and a huge dose of realism, this priest, Gregory Boyle, has created a community of forbearance, where these men who once had sworn to kill each other make dinner rolls together and make silkscreen t-shirts for anyone who asks them to. They learn not only to put up with each other, but to care for one another, eventually to love each other, to uphold each other and defend each other. He tells the story once about one gang member, and when you're in a gang, I guess you're always in a gang, even when you've eschewed that lifestyle. So one homeboy bakery worker who had been a gang member was in the wrong neighborhood, and his co-workers' group was about to beat him up and maybe even kill him. And the guy said, oh man, don't do that, that's my cousin. And they said, oh, okay, fine, and walked away. Now, it wasn't his cousin, and he could have been challenged, and he could have been in as much danger himself as that one lone guy from the other neighborhood was. But he had a bond with him because of what they shared as homeboy bakers that made him put himself on the line and open himself up to danger to protect the other guy. He had bound himself with this other young man and had carried his burdens and protected him from harm. These young men share humor and pain and the surprising pride of working for a living and the sense of worth that some of them have experienced for the first time in their lives and enables them not only to love themselves a bit, but to love each other. Learning to love someone who seems unlovable to you is one of the most powerful ways that you and I can become who God wants us to be. Because that is what God did for us. God adores every single one of us. But it isn't because God says, "Oh, Josh, the way you play the piano and the way you think and talk and the fact that you take your kids to the apple orchard every week, I like that about you." Mm-mm. God looks at you or me and says, "In spite of the fact, Mandy, that you're a lazy bum about cleaning up your yard when it's fall, in spite of the fact that you're reluctant to read this book that was recommended to you 2 years ago and has got my word in it more fully than you can imagine, in spite of, I'm crazy about you, Mandy. Not because you deserve it," God says to me, "but because that's what I, God, do. I love." And so when you and I can do that with each other, when we can look at someone who we don't have a whole list of all the reasons we ought to adore them, except that within ourselves we are creating and cultivating the ability to love like God, that is when we are truly transformed, when we really become church. In our very brief scripture from the book of Galatians, Paul says that by carrying one another's burdens, we will fulfill the law of Christ. And I know I'm dipping into different books to get scriptures to help explain our covenant, but if we had been reading the book of Galatians, chapter 6 is the last one, the entire book, Paul is saying, this is the law, full of rules and regulations and statutes and box checking and things that have to be done. And this is Christ, utter grace, unmerited love, wonderment in your acceptability without doing anything. Paul has spent the whole book saying law is here and Christ is here and Christ is better. And so he sums up this book by then saying, when we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ, which when you first read it, if you've been reading the whole book, feels like an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp, law of Christ. They just don't go together. Jesus Christ makes us right, not of our own doing, not because we are good, but because Jesus is good. So the law of Christ is to love unmeritedly, to offer connection and commitment, resources, our very selves, whether the other person seems to deserve it or not. It's not because we don't love one another because of who the other people are. We love one another because of who we are. We have been steeped and grounded in love. This is the law that we are called to as God's children. And if you find a bickering church, doesn't it just seem like they've missed the boat entirely? It's not to say we won't have times when we disagree with each other, but we can disagree in love. It's not to say there won't be opinions that we hold incredibly differently. Chris McCabe and I are politically this far apart, and yet I count him as one of my dearest friends. And he helped me out yesterday in a way I'll tell you about in a minute that made me so grateful to be bound together with him. If we had the whole world to choose from, some of the people in this room are the people we would choose to belong to. And if we had the whole world to choose from on our own, some of the people in this room we might want to be at the other end. But because of God, we belong to each other. And in learning to love one another, we become shaped and transformed in the best and fullest way that God wants us to be. So we care for one another, helping when life is complicated and celebrating when life feels great. Because we have bound ourselves to one another and we watch over each other in love and we have promised to bear one another's burdens. Yesterday, the furnace in the church parsonage broke. Actually, I think it's been broken all summer. But yesterday, when it really got cold, it was clear. So I called out for help. Bob Hingston came by to see if he could make a difference in the middle of a very busy morning and to think through with me what the next steps ought to be. And then Chris McCabe came by and worked on the furnace for a couple of hours, giving up his unexpectedly free Saturday afternoon, and this from a man who typically works 70 hours a week. "Oh, Mandy, I'm happy to do it, to see if I can save the church some money and to get you and Bruce more comfortable more quickly." Again, politically here to here, but this man was there for me when I needed him. And I've been there for him when he needed me, because we know how to love each other, because God has taught us how. I was humbled by these offers of support. And now we, yes, you're bearing my burdens, we need to replace the parsonage furnace. And it will take a whole group of us to decide how to do that, and it will take every single one of us to pay for it. And we'll do it, because that's what we do. We help each other solve problems. We band together to figure things out, not just when it's at the parsonage, but always. Think about the baby showers that we've shared here, and the Sundays when we've celebrated our musicians or our Sunday school teachers or our deacons or our church leaders. Think about the Mother's Days and Father's Day when we've raised every one of you up, whether you're a biological mother or a biological father or not. Think about the times when we look at our children so lovingly and we say, how can we support them? When Bradley walks up these stairs, I'm thrilled that he feels comfortable enough that this whole room belongs to him. I'm grateful that he knows he's welcome here and this is his church. We love each other, not just because it's easy, but because in doing so, we become better people. Now think for just a moment, if all the folks in this room weren't in your life, think about all the lessons of love and forbearance and grace and generosity you've learned for them, and imagine those weren't a part of your story. I cannot imagine a greater loss in my life, because together, beloved, we are the face of God. And together we encourage each other in grace. Together we understand God's extraordinary commitment to us, even as we commit to each other. So at Old South Church, we say we bind ourselves to the members of this church to live with them and watch over them with love and bear with them their burdens, even in as God in Christ has done the same for us. And in so pledging, we open our hearts fully to the transforming love of God. If you are new to this church, may you find a home here. If you are visiting just today and don't already have a church, may you find one wherever you live. And may you open yourselves to the vulnerable and life-giving presence of binding yourselves to those with whom you worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.